Listening Effectively, John A. Klein, Chapter 5, What You Feel About Listening. We begin by discussing what you think about listening, because effective listening requires rigorous cognitive processing or thought. But possession of the sharpest mind will not make you a good listener if your feelings are wrong. In other words, what you feel about listening is important. Here are 6 suggestions for improving your feel for listening. Number 1, want to listen. This suggestion is basic to all others, for it simply says that you must have an intent to listen. We can all recall having been forced to listen to a speech or a briefing that we didn't really want to listen to, and listening under duress seldom results in understanding or enjoyment, although there are exceptions. Perhaps you have attended a meeting or a social event out of a sense of duty, yet found it to have been profitable. The reason? Probably since you were there, you decided to make the best of the situation. That is, you made up your mind to listen. Sometimes you don't want to listen. At other times, your actions may indicate that you don't want to listen when you really do. And at still other times, you may be unaware that you don't want to listen. All 3 of these situations are affective or attitudinal, that is, they involve our feelings about listening. Individuals often stop by my office and ask if they can talk for a few minutes. Perhaps they are seeking advice, telling about a project, or seeking clarification on a directive. Whatever the case, if I am not meeting with someone else or working against a deadline, I invite them in. But I must honestly admit that my mind sometimes wanders and I find myself looking at phone messages, fiddling with a paperclip, or looking at my guest with a blank stare. The visitor usually becomes uneasy, hurries the discussion, and offers to come back another time. I protest that I am really listening, but my actions betray me. It's difficult, indeed nearly impossible, to really listen if you don't have a mind to. You must want to listen. Number 2. Delay judgment. There are times when you must be a critical or judgmental listener. At times, you must make crucial decisions based on what you hear. There are also times when you must judge the speaker. Job interviews, campaign promises, speech contests, all are examples of where judgment of the speaker is important. The problem is, though, that you may be judgmental when you shouldn't be. You may judge the speaker instead of the content, or you may form judgments before the speaker is finished. A boy who was 1 month shy of being 16 decided to confess to his father that he had driven the family car on the previous night. His younger sister's promised ride to a gymnastics class hadn't arrived, and it was the night of her final rehearsal before a performance. So he made the decision to take her, even though he did not yet have a driver's license. He was also quite sure that he hadn't been seen and would never have been found out. Still, his conscience was bothering him, and his family had stressed honesty and openness. He decided to tell his father. Upon hearing that the boy had taken the car, his father became furious. He scarcely heard the reason, and he failed to consider that the boy had taken it upon himself to confess. He told the boy that the act would delay his getting a driver's license by 2 months. Then the father rethought the situation and said, "Son, I acted hastily. My emotions got the best of me. You were wrong to drive a car because you broke the law. But frankly, I am proud of you for 3 reasons. You got your sister to the gymnastics rehearsal. You were honest about it. And you are my son." Supervisors often wonder why people in their organizations won't level with them. They need only consider the messenger in ancient Rome who paid with his life for bringing bad news. An ancient Turkish proverb says, "Messenger with bad news should keep 1 foot in the stirrup." Delaying judgment and judging the content rather than the speaker will lead to better listening and more honest communication. Number 3. Admit your biases. Let's face it, everyone is human. We all have likes and dislikes. Some things turn us on, others turn us off. These characteristics are natural and to be expected. The problem comes when we let our biases, our likes and dislikes, get in the way of our understanding the speaker's message. For example, suppose you've had 3 bad experiences with people from Chicago, and you learn that the speaker you have come to hear is from Chicago, you may have a tendency to immediately distrust or discredit whatever he has to say. Only by admitting your prejudice against people from Chicago will you be able to think beyond your past experience and listen effectively to what the speaker has to say. Before you reject the above example as irrelevant, consider a time in your past when you got sick from eating a certain food. You knew the sickness was caused by a virus and not the food, but it was quite a while before that food again tasted good to you. In a similar way, bias from past experience can influence what you hear and the meaning you derive from it. If you want to be an effective listener, you must know and admit your biases. Number 4. Don't tune out dry subjects. Whenever you are tempted to tune out something because you think it will be boring or useless, remember that you cannot evaluate the importance of the message until you have heard it. By then, it is probably too late to ask the speaker to repeat everything that was said. The opportunity to listen effectively will have passed. As was stated earlier, you must intend to listen. Here are several things you can do to stay focused, even if the subject seems dry. A. Put yourself in the speaker's place. Try to see the speaker's point of view, and try to understand the speaker's attitude toward the subject. B. Review frequently what the speaker has said. Try to summarize the message as the speaker would summarize it. C. Constantly ask yourself positive questions about what the speaker is saying. How can I use this information? How can I share this information with others? What else can be said about this subject? D. Ask yourself, what does the speaker know that I don't? E. Find at least one major application or conclusion for every message you hear. In other words, ask, what's in this message for me? Then find the answer. F. Listen as though you are going to be required to present the same message to a different audience later. Effective listeners have discovered the value of listening to messages they might have initially considered to be dry. Sometimes the messages aren't so dry after all, and even when they are, there still may be something of value in them. Number 5. Accept responsibility for understanding. Don't assume this attitude, here I am, teach me, if you can. Such listeners believe knowledge can be poured into them as water is poured into a jug, and they believe the responsibility rests with the one doing the pouring. That is, they believe it is the speaker's fault if effective listening does not occur. Admittedly, the basic assumption in speaking effectively, a guide for Air Force speakers, is that the speaker bears a large responsibility for how well the audience listens, and the speaker's clear organization, engaging support material, and appropriate delivery do in fact aid listening. But good listeners are good because they accept the responsibility for listening and understanding. Number 6. Encourage others to talk. This point applies to those situations in which you find yourself one-on-one, in a small group discussion, or any other setting that requires exchange of vocal communication. But you can't listen if no one is talking. The first two guidelines of this section, communicating that you want to listen and being willing to delay judgment, are sources of encouragement to speakers. The discussion below covers several other things you can do. A. Stop talking. You can't listen if you're talking. B. Give positive feedback. Look and act interested. Positive head nods, alertness, and smiles all offer encouragement to the speaker. C. Ask questions. Questions that show interest and attention encourage both speaker and listener. Show your interest. D. Empathize with the speaker. Put yourself in the speaker's place. This will help you understand the message. E. Keep confidences. If the information is sensitive, don't share it with others. F. Share information. We tend to tell things to those who tell us things. So if you want the speaker to share information with you, share information with the speaker.